they were telling you, presumably James still gave them the task to say you're going to do this.
Well, in fact, Richard Bell gave me the task.
Right.
And James Hill then filled in.
Right.
But after that, also people gave me the task, including Robert Crutney.
Right.
And some chap from Eisenhower's headquarters, the company was near, came to see him.
Right.
But once I realized what it was and where it was, my first reaction, and this has been printed, was to say that I didn't see any sense at all in jumping over the so-called Atlantic Wall and then having to fight our way through another wall in the safe arc of battery defenses. And that's why I decided on what Richard Gale called the coup de main.
Right.
In other words, get in, get somebody inside if you didn't come off. I don't think there's anything else I can add to that, because from that moment on, it became one of planning. But there is one point of view which it's not what I had then, but since I have been, and James Hill has been, severely criticized for the detail of my plan. I gather that James has taken the task of Campbell about it, so he told me. But I stick by my gun. My reason for that is this. It's all very well to say that you would go, and as one CO did, Alistair Pearce, I'd rather you didn't put that in the book, when I mentioned it, but he said, when asked how he'd do it, well, he'd make his plan when he got there. In a normal light attack, you have time to look at the ground and make a reconnaissance of some sort, however rough. In an airborne night attack, World War II, you did not have that time. You have to make it a plan or a model. Furthermore, we knew that the pilots of 46 balloons were not up to the scratch of 38 balloons. Extremely important. 46th group was put together very quickly. It's not their fault that we didn't have enough space. There was therefore the danger that we would be dropped, part of us dropped wide, and you know as well as I do how wide we were dropped. One of my sticks was dropped 60 miles in there. And therefore, I and several others took the view. Every single man had to know what he was doing and what his neighbor was going to do. And that's why the plan was so detailed. And if it hadn't been detailed, I don't think we could have got inside.
So, that meant that people who weren't originally
they knew the ground. They've all said to me that when they got on the ground, it wasn't strange. They'd been there before.
Yeah.
I think from now on, it's better if you ask me questions, because
right.
Otherwise, I'd go rambling on and wasting your time.
Right.
9. Five by day and four by night. The last one
was 9 minutes. That was the only one that I got. Presumably, because they were a household, you couldn't land the gliders on it, because otherwise you'd have demolished the thing you didn't know. So what did you do? How did you rehearse the glider party?
Driven there by truck.
Right.
We had aircraft flying over, and the actual gliders flew over, so that the pilots
could see,
and were fairly familiar with the routine.
Yeah.
And they were absolutely superb.
Well, yeah.
between a company and an exaggerated platoon.
Quite, quite.
And there was, as I saw it, no alternative.
Yeah, yeah.
It was either that or give up.
Quite, let's give on.
Well, I mean, I couldn't have faced giving up.
No, quite. And originally, the task had been given the C Company to actually get through the wire and carry out the report.
That's right.
Meet out of the company.
Yes.
And their company commander wasn't there.
No. Yeah,
so some of them were around.
Yes.
A few of them. And you then, as I recall, said to Harry, who'd been in charge of the RB and then was going to go on to do some other task later, and was originally going to be involved with that report, like, you're going to take this lot under command. Is that what you actually said?
Yes. Alan Parry was furious with me for not allowing him to go in with the glider party firing the gun, and was also putting him in charge of the reserve. I suppose on reflection I wasn't very fair. I didn't tell him why, but there was a very good reason for it. I mean, have you read that book of John Golly's?
I've read John Golly's book.
And he's quoted there saying how furious he was.
Well, he said it. I mean, in the battlefield call, I got it on tape.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, and I've had this out with Alan quite several times, he was the only senior officer on which I felt I could rely if something really went wrong, and I had to have him available. I had a new second in command. Oh gosh, I forgot his name. Anyway. He had been posted to me without any consultation with me, the new chef. He was senior to me in the army this for several years, which I think is always a stupid thing to do. Post a senior man to serve under a junior man. He had done his jumps. He had no other airborne experience, and I didn't know him. And I didn't have confidence in him, so I wanted Alan there. Now, I've said it to Alan, but he's never seems to have sunk into it. I mean, he and I are very great friends. When we used to go to Portugal, my wife and I, Lord Alan used to come every year and stay with us in the Algarve, and so on. And I looked after him quite a lot in when he used to leg up, they took him to Roehampton and met them. But that he's got a blind spot on for blockage of some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
But in fact, I was paying him a compliment.
Yes. I
wanted him there. He was the man. He was the most valuable officer. I wish you could say that. He was the most valuable officer I had. Streets ahead of anybody else, wasn't he? Not within, I suppose, your orbit, but I was furious when James Hill wouldn't give him command of the battalion after he'd come down, after me, because he deserved it, he was a senior man. And Major got it instead.
Yeah.
He had more experience than Major.
Yeah.
At that time, obviously.
Yeah. Right. Well, that explains that.
Oh, he's a terrific, a very great man, I think.
So luckily he was there.
Yes. Well,
not luckily, it was because he was an extra stand that he should be there.
I was. I wasn't going to let him out of my
floor.
Luckily, yes, but he, luckily from the point of view, he survived and in the advance party.
Yeah, yeah. And got to the right place.
Got to the right
place. Right. So, that being so, you put him in charge of the assault.
Yes.
And off they went.
Yeah.
And then the gliders came in, but you had no means of illuminating for them.
No.
So
no.
You must have had to get another thing. Oh, God, you know what was going on.
Yes. Pretty mildly, yes.
Yes, pretty mildly.
That's correct. Well, I saw two out of the three. One came over. Circled and landed down by the
There are various accounts of the gliders, and I find it is what actually did happen. One circle quite high is low enough you see it.
Oh, yeah, I saw it quite
clearly. Bang to run.
Yes.
Looking
yes.
for the battery.
That's right, yes. But there was no way he could go inside.
No, quite.
Without killing everybody. And the pilot, I think he was, took the right decision.
Yeah. Did they all come back from
No, they weren't captured, but they were bombed by our own people and had, it was more fatuous, had very severe casualties.
Yeah.
And at the same time, that James Hill was wounded. He was with them at the time.
Right, and what was his molecule?
Yes.
That mob joined up with James Hill, the party.
Yes. The third one landed in near Eastbourne, I think. He's toe broke and he got back in some extraordinary way.
And presumably they all came out later.
Yes.
And then one, which was Hugh Pond.
They came over, those boys who landed back, they came over with the air landing brigade.
Yeah, the next day.
Yeah. Hugh Pond, yes.
His landing crashed fairly close.
Yes, didn't it?
Close
enough
you
see your...
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Because I sent, as soon as I saw what was going to happen, I sent Miller.
Yeah.
Yes, he was a CSM at the time.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hugh Pond?
Yes.
He's good.
I got it. And at that stage, the attack was all about to go in.
Yeah.
And they then went in.
Yeah.
Did you then go in behind them?
Yes, I followed them.
Yeah.
And I waited for a little while. When I said I, we did, because I was here. Hal Hudson, my adjutant, I think was on my left.
Right.
And he took this terrible machine gun bird straight in his guts. And I think God gave me a sound life because something, I always imagined it was a bullet, went straight across. Made a hole in one side of my jacket and then in the other. I felt something hot, but it just touched my skin, I thought. And another thing hit my water bottle. And something else flicked my thumb.
Yeah, yeah.
At once.
But you...
I didn't get cut. Yeah. Jefferson, who was on my right, he stepped on a booby trap.
Yeah.
And got hurt. I was very lucky.
Yeah.
I was standing up.
And quite a lot of people.
Well, my batman was lucky. He didn't get that. He was with just behind
me. He was still stood on mine. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very difficult to tell who did and who didn't. Yeah.
Was there, besides more, was there more for artillery fire on the battery?
Not, wait, are you talking about at the
attack? About during assault, yes.
No.
No.
Not at that time. Some Germans, I don't know what how many there were. They sounded a lot, but then the situation, the numbers always exaggerating in one's own mind, went past us, and we just lay in the bomb crater. But the battery itself, no, it wasn't churned up. The RAF missed it. The trip was a couple of hits. And one was on top of one of the casings. Actually, I went up there, because after this I went round the casement. I was so intrigued that I'd seen this hole, I went up to have a look at it. And as you said, just blew the mud off.
Go on. How many, at that stage, and people produced, they just take part in the fall, did you find them then had to sort of rather get them going, that they needed putting on a bit, or...
No. I never understood. They didn't get it. They just didn't need it. They did need it when we got outside, but not there.
Yeah.
They were absolutely. The adrenaline was still going.
Yeah. Did you send anybody round to check on the guns, or did you go
yourself? I sent. No, I went. I had told them to come back to me and report, and I met most of them halfway, and then I went round myself and had a look. That story.
Well, there was the assault, each assault group commander was told to come back to you and report.
Yeah. And that was the case, probably with about Dowling. Mike Dowling was a soldier.
He was killed.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
He was one of several people I got over from the Royal Ulster Rifles.
Right.
My RSM was another.
Right.
And he was a very good young officer. And he came back and reported to me, I suppose. But, I can't remember it clearly, but about halfway between the wire and the case. And he turned round, took a few paces, several paces, and went flat in his face, and I charged up to him instead. The bloody day held. And the plastic explosive, which he was trying to put down the barrel of the gun, had gone off, and he was killed that way, not by anyone else.
Well, it could be four. I think presumably the
detonator. No, this was in the casement.
Right.
Nobody's ever been able to tell me exactly what happened.
Right.
Except that he had, it is in his hand here, in some way, but he didn't blow his hand off. This is a curious thing. But his hand was there. But he made this damn great hole in his chest. And he had it when he came to report.
Right. Then fell down and died off. Yeah. Right. So then the problem was getting out.
Yeah.
Before the arrow
tubes
started opening up
on you. Well, before that, that was the main thing in my mind. But before that, the Germans called down defensive fire.
Yeah,
they
did all the way on the
roof. Yeah.
Just sort of shaking
and
morphing
and starting to come in. That was when it came down, yes. And the problem was also to find the way out through mines.
Right.
Well, that was fairly simple. I simply tell the prisoners to lead the way. They refused to do it to start with. But then they changed their mind.
And which way did they take you out? To the main gate? Did they all back through the mine?
No, back the way we'd come. March in the States.
Yeah,
and I was asked to write an appreciation, the 10,000 write an appreciation. just have to wrap it up. I've got I got another doctor to do that particular paragraph.
Right. So you didn't come into the battery?
No. I wouldn't let him come into the battery.
No.
I didn't want him killed, and that would be done as completely a waste of a life.
Yeah.
And he had the help of a German doctor who we captured.
Yeah.
But he was killed by his own fire.
The German doctor.
He went in to get more supplies.
Yeah.
And was killed by his own artillery.
Then we worried about our future at this stage.
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
Nothing at all. Keep out of the way.
Yeah.
I'd have a lot to do with Navy in my career.
Yeah.
And I knew the size of the shells that the Jews could flick at us.
Right.
And none of the other chaps realized what power that ship had. So I did.
Yeah. Was it defense group?
Yeah. And we'd have them in Hong Kong, you see, when I was out there.
I
spent a lot of time with the Navy, including going to sea with them in Hong Kong.
You were then pretty concerned about the next task, because you haven't got many people that will suddenly.
Of us, yes, we collected about another 10 of Canadians and other odds and sorts who turned up. Yes, I was very concerned.
It was actually quite a daunting thing to be given. I mean, I know, the battery followed by the plot, in fact, you also were required to go and do something parallel as well.
Yes, there was a radar station there.
To have to do three things like that in quick succession.
On reflection,
really,
it was silly.
Yeah.
Stupid to ask any battalion to do that. At the time, I just said, well, you're not to reason why, etc. But when you think back and analyze it from, shall we say, a Camelot point of view, it doesn't add up, because if you agree with the battalion commander's plan in detail, because, and you agree with his reasons, which were that the possibility was that you would have very small numbers to do it because of being scattered, then it doesn't make sense to tell him to go and do something else afterwards.
No.
Because you must know or expect him to have a reduced force.
Yeah. I mean, it was the battery who was all cost type operation, wasn't it?
Yes. I think
you could have actually ended up with nobody.
Yes.
The plan.
Yes.
Which you bloody nearly did.
Which I bloody nearly did.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as though my plan was just mine. It was passed by James Hill, by Richard Gale, and by Browning in that order. They all looked at it in detail, and not one of them made a single alteration. That did surprise me. I think Max Hastings used a good expression in his book about it. He described Merville as a very necessary insurance.
Yeah.
Have you read what the cost said in his intelligence appreciation? There are the cost of the D2R. You don't use those terms these days, do you? D1 and D2.
Well, I understand them, but I find the new one totally incompetent.
Ah, good. Well, he was a DSO truly in his book, intelligence. And he said at the time, if indeed the guns are there at all.
Right, yeah.
If you like, digressing, do you want me to switch this off while it's wasting?
Yes, it's the bottom button.
Press it in.
Yes, just press it in.
Yeah?
Yes.
Press it in.
together like that. Then it starts performing.
Thank you.